Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast. This Week in America. Acclaimed science fiction author Paul Escudero lives in San Diego, where he enjoys long walks at the beach every day, enjoying the wonderful surroundings and the marine life that abounds. It's during these walks that he ponders the universe, speculates on the future as he observes the rapid advance in space technology that he knows one day will make his novels come true. Paul listens to classical music every day as he slowly crafts his stories, dramas that will send the reader's mind to the universe. Paul has worked in electronics his entire adult life. He's seen it evolve from vacuum tubes to modern devices. His interests include history, railroad, science fiction, aerospace, and the new discoveries of the galaxy and the universe. He patiently awaits the eventual disclosure of aliens or for other monumental surprises about the future of mankind. Critically acclaimed as a master writer of science fiction and fantasy, stories that will entertain and get you to think. A prolific author, his newest book, Arizona Alien Adventure, featuring 1 billion aliens at a major intergalactic war, and the Chaucetti Incident, his newest, Man of Birds Traveling to the Stars. And Paul Escudero is our guest on This Week in America. Paul, welcome to the program. It is a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Rick.
What a career you've had in writing. I mentioned prolific, and this goes back years. Talk about that first novel. When did you have the first novel published?
Well, the first novel, Giappa, which I'm now republishing second edition through Workbook Press, was published in 1996 on a bet. I was up to Bangor, Washington, sharing a rental car with a gentleman by the name of Joe McKenzie, and he didn't like my driving, and I was wanting to fix my cursive writing skills, and the best way I figured to do it was just keep writing by hand. And so I asked him one day if he wouldn't mind driving, and he said sure. So while he's driving, I'm just writing stuff off the top of my head. And I got a notebook, and I'm just really collecting all kinds of stuff that I'm writing, you know, science fiction stuff. And I had a lot of thoughts because I've read just about every Isaac Asimov book ever printed.
Oh, yes.
And so I had a lot of science fiction thoughts in my mind, and I love Isaac Asimov, you know. And so Joe looked down at me, and he saw I've been writing away in all these different trips where we're going into the submarine base there in Bangor, Washington, and I'm working on some of them black things, which I got some very nice awards for. One of these days I'll disclose it, my deathbed confession. he asked me, he says, are you writing a book or something? I go, maybe. And he goes, nobody's going to read that blank, 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 right? And so I said, well, why do you think that? He says, I just know. I go, you want to make a bet? He goes, sure, I'll bet you a beer. So we bet a beer. And so I've been collecting. I had no intentions of writing a book, okay? But I had collected this notebook full of writing to monitor my progress, see if I was making improvements, and
yes,
by looking at it, where I needed to improve, right? And so one day I started looking at that, and I go, you know what? I've read everything Asimov ever wrote, plus Heinlein and Bradbury and a whole bunch of others, right? And so I'm thinking, you know, this actually sounds kind of good to me. So I got to my word processor, an old XT machine, and started typing it up and typing it, editing it, typing and editing. Oh, by the way, in my life, I had to generate considerable amount of correspondence for Uncle Sam. Okay.
Oh, yes.
And some of my correspondence went to places like CNO, if you know who I'm talking about. So I had to write very well. And, you know, there was some implications on what was in my report. So, you know, I had a wonderful mentor, a gentleman by the name of Claude Hudson, who really taught me how to write. Claude had a wicked red pencil. Everybody knew Claude.
Ah, the red pencil. Yes, yes. I think everyone has had one of those, I think, in our lives with the red pencil, and remember it vividly. Didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead. I had a flashback to someone I knew with a red pencil.
Yeah. So anyways, back in those days, it was all on paper, right? So you type it up, you print it out, you read it. And one night I'm laying in bed reading my latest version of it, and it was like 200 or 300 pages. And I said to myself, this actually sounds good to me. And if I like it, I wonder what the publishers would think. So the next thing, I sent a letter, or I contacted Dorrance Publishing in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and talked to them. And they said, yeah, send us a manuscript. We'll take a look at it. So I sent I FedExed them a manuscript. And within 5 days, I got a FedEx package back with a contract. Boom, just like that.
Fantastic.
And it was a hardbound book. I think it started printing in 1997. And eventually it became a rare book, right?
Yes.
And because of my occupation at the time working on those black things, sworn to secrecy, we had a regulation where I had to report all foreign contacts. Which, if you're a writer, that could be incidental very easily, right? And I didn't want to get into legal trouble. So I didn't really do a really good job of promoting my work because I couldn't really go out into the public and say, hey, me, here I am, right? And so I didn't get promoted too well because of my stature. And, it did its initial run, and that was it. But the nice thing, probably my crowning achievement, was in 2016, when I retired working as a federal employee, Joe McKenzie mentioned to me that a couple of those GIOPA books were selling on Amazon or I found it on gettextbooks.com for $1,000 each.
Wow.
Those two books just sold for $1,000. One of them rented for $856. Now, if you go to gettextbooks.com and look at all my books, you'll see they sell around the world, but also you'll see that on some of them, they actually rent them.
Interesting. I didn't realize there was a market for that. And by the way, Paul Escudero is our guest. If you're looking for his books, Escudero is Escudero. You'll find books, of course, at Amazon. Get all the books there at workbookpress.com. The new books are there. The two books that we talked about now, Arizona Alien Adventure, also Chaucetti Incident, newer books, Man of Birds, Traveling to the Stars, and also at Workbook Press, you'll find Endless Travels, Reincarnation, and Memories. Those are Paul's books, and we'll give you that through the show, but there's so many books out there that you can buy, or as I'm finding out now, that you can rent as well and enjoy these stories. What was the fascination, Paul, with science fiction? You do that so well, influenced by some of the top names in writing science fiction. Your background sort of encompasses that area. What drew you to science fiction?
Well, when you write, you really got two choices. You can either write a biography or you can write fiction, okay? And there's plenty of fiction writers out there. And the issue with fiction, straight fiction, is it's the mundane how life is on planet Earth right now. It's the civilization as we know it and all that goes on. And within that, there is probably quite a bit of interesting stuff is, you got all these wonderful authors out there that sold millions and millions of books about that. But what science fiction does for me is it gives me an opportunity without working for an employer like General Dynamics or Boeing or Raytheon or Lockheed Martin or whoever to actually create the future. Now, I've got a lot of, remarks about my book GIOPA because so much of that stuff back then was far-fetched, right?
Yeah.
Guess what? Now it's happening.
Yeah, and that was only the mid-90s. So, and that's amazing the prescience you had as you're writing this.
Right. So as an example, there's terms in GIOPA called things like phototronic neural network, right? Now, what do we got now? We got networks. We got fiber optics all over the place. We got 5G, you know.
Yes.
In that book was the character Martha, who's an artificial intelligence. When I wrote that book, I wanted to create what do we have after robots? Now, Asimov did a great job of creating robots, right? So my mind is thinking, well, what's going to replace robots? Well, Martha replaces robots. Martha is a phototronic neural network manifestation of electrostatics and electromagnetics that feels like the real thing, but in reality, it's just artificial intelligence that can pop in, pop out, you know, just like a flash of a hologram.
Yes.
And throughout that book, all of the display technology is holographic displays. And now, keep in mind, this is 1995 when I'm writing the book, and we use a mouse, right? And we're mousing around on our computers. Well, in Joppa, they're using eyeball movement, and the phototronic neural network ability and holographic ability can see where the eyeball is pointing. So your eyeball is the pointer. Now, what has happened? Well, now you go check it out. You're going to find out our jet fighter planes and other military equipment actually has stuff measuring the eyeball so that they see what you're looking at.
Yes.
And they know what you're looking at, you know? So, by the way, the sequel to Joppa, Sasha Andromeda, is where the ugly part of artificial intelligence comes about. Martha becomes corrupt. And so that's one thing we got to think about. CIA currently has 184 artificial intelligence projects ongoing. Now, I'm sure it's all good stuff.
But
like in my book, Soylent Caravan, artificial intelligence starts having people assassinated. Think about that connection.
Yeah, and we only think about the positives when we're talking about, in this case, artificial intelligence, and you think through what could happen out there. That's the thing with Paul's books, and I mentioned that in the beginning. The books are highly entertaining. You can't put a book down once you start reading, but they make you think as well. And all of these different items that he's talking about, this technology talking about, may seem at the time you're reading like it's far-fetched. And then, as he said, all of a sudden what he wrote about in the mid-1990s is now part of our lives. Paul Escudero, that's Escudero. The books we're talking about today from workbookpress.com. You'll find all of his books, Amazon, the usual places, and there are a number of them. So do yourself a favor and check out Paul's author page and get all of the information there. Paul, tell me a little bit about what it takes to write these novels. They're upwards of, 500 pages in great detail, and you've written so many. What does it take to write one of your novels?
Well, you have to first ask yourself the big question, how bad do you want it? So once you answer that question, then you can proceed. And it takes patience and it takes time. And there's some situations that will evolve where you may just throw in the towel and want to quit, right?
Yes.
And you ask that question again, well, how bad do you want it? Then you continue on. When we write books, Nowadays, we submit Word files to the publishers, and I have three publishers, Dorrance, Archway, and Workbook Press. Archway is actually their division of Simon & Schuster's. They're producing my novel, 20 Million Years, The Rediscovery of Earth and Mars, right? And of course, Dorrance, they did 10 novels for me and they did a great job. But in that process, sometimes this is what happens. They take the Word file and then they transfer it over to a word processing type application designed for the printing press, right? Because most of the time, it's assumed that all the books are going to get printed. Not always. I mean, I've published some books that were ebooks only, and this book, Joppa 2, initially will come out as as ebook only because it's in four languages: English, Chinese, Pinyin, and German. So it's 525,000 words, and it'll explode to like 1,700 pages when they put it in the word processing format. So it would be cost prohibitive to print it unless I broke it into four volumes, and I wouldn't consider doing that unless there was enough of demand for it.
Yes.
But when they transfer those files, they don't always transfer gracefully. And as you will discover in some of my novels, I love Chinese and I love Chinese names. And the best way to describe an alien is sometimes a manifestation of a Chinese name, right? And because it sounds really sexy, in my opinion, you know, because I love Chinese. Okay, and by the way, Archway Simon and Schuster's, they did publish a book for me, Radiant Destiny, in English and Chinese. It's also in Pinyin. So if you want to study Chinese, you read the Pinyin, and it will help you learn how to pronounce the Mandarin characters.
Interesting.
This book, same thing with this book that's coming out, Giapa Second Edition with Workbook Press. It's English, Chinese, Pinyin, and German. And so if a person wanted to learn German or Chinese, if they read that book and put some effort into it, they could actually, by the time they get done, they will know a whole bunch of Chinese characters.
It's fascinating. Now, and all of the information you'll find, Workbook Press is a great place to go. They've published the recent books that Paul has done. And go ahead and finish your thought there. I interrupted, but wanted people to know where they could get information on your books.
Right. If you Google my name, Paul D. Escudero, you'll see a whole bunch of book covers. It'll probably blow some people's minds because I've actually produced that number of books, and I got more on the way. I've published seven books this year. Giapa 2 is the seventh novel. A couple of them are 650 pages. A couple of them are 550 pages. A couple of them are 400 pages. And Giapa 2 will be 1,700 pages in the four languages. So I have a lot of enthusiasm. But I wanted to just touch real quickly on those transfer problems. Like, so happens that Mandarin has a possibility of 35 vowels, right? And so it's a tonal language. So it's kind of like Vietnamese. They have tonal markers on each of the vowel. And in one of my books, I had a whole bunch of Chinese names in the book, by the way. None of the vowels transferred over to the what they call page proofs. So it goes from Word document to a page proof type book that's set up with all the markers on the corners so that the computer can position the paper.
Yes.
Very accurately when they do the cutting when they actually build the books. So none of those transferred, so I have to identify every one of them. I have the final responsibility as the author, and if I don't catch it, it'll go out that way. So can you imagine 20,000 mistakes in a book that you thought you were done with?
Well, yes.
So it's moments like that when you have to have perseverance. You have to ask yourself, how bad do you want it? And yeah, you got to stay up to midnight for quite a few nights in a row and put a spreadsheet together to tell the publisher, this is all the mistakes, because the book builder is not an editor. As far as he's concerned, it's been edited. That's not his job, right?
There's actually
work that goes into this stuff.
A little behind the scenes in what it takes to be a successful published author. And again, you'll see all of Paul's books, and that's the best way to do it, is Paul D. Escudero. That's Escudero. Google it. You get all the information there. The recent books we're talking about on the program is workbookpress.com. Time going by so quickly. There's so much to talk about. I highly recommend you look into Paul Escudero. I described him as a master writer of science fiction and fantasy, a magnificent storyteller. Paul, what makes your books different? Because people who read and enjoy all of your books feel you've got a touch that's different than the others. What's different about your writing style and your stories?
Well, one thing, I'm a history buff, so I love to sprinkle real history in the books. So, like the Toss Eddy incident, for example, you're gonna see. I'm talking about people like Alan Dulles and Frank Wisner and Tracy Barnes and General Curtis LeMay and General Kinney. And in that particular book, you're going to discover something about Charles A. Lindbergh that most Americans don't know about. Charles A. Lindbergh did a lot of stuff that public is totally doesn't know about unless you read his biography and research him. Well, Charles Lindbergh actually got General Kinney fired. And so that's how wow. Curtis LeMay became the head of SAC. And that kind of stuff, I sprinkle that in my books. And I sprinkle some real technology and some stuff that some people, skeptics, might claim is, far-fetched. But it's actually true because I've gone through, I got three different sources to vet the information so I know that it's correct. And so, like in my book 51 Reasons to Ask 51 Questions, which is about Area 51, there's a hangar at Area 51 with a huge elevator in it for underground parking of aircraft. Okay, I mean, that's in the book. It's in my, you know, I have the copyright to the United States Space Force. The Space Force does not own their copyright. I do. Now, there's all kinds of people that are building United States Space Force stuff, including Netflix. They're all violating my copyright. So you know where that's going, right?
Oh, yeah.
I think I'll probably hear from some Netflix attorneys soon when they realize their trademark is in violation of my copyright. By the way, copyright supersedes trademarks, and according to law, they owe me a third.
So, okay.
You know,
such a fascinating guest on the program, Paul Escudero, Escudero. And all of the information you'll find, the books, the new ones at workbookpress.com. I'll give you the four newest here in a second. When he talks, and he can't tell us a lot about his background or he'd have to kill me and everybody who's listening to the program, but believe me, he knows what he's talking about. And he taps into all of that knowledge as he's writing these brilliant science fiction novels. How do you come to understanding the human condition and able to put it into words? Because it's not just technology, the science fiction part of it with the technology. You understand people, and the characters are well-developed as well. You have an understanding of the human condition. Where does that part of the story of your background come from?
Well, it's a person, if you want to be a good writer, you have to have empathy. You have to study people, which I've done, and you have to, you know, by reading, I have lots of books, okay? My wife complains.
I can imagine.
Get rid of some of these books.
I can imagine. You know?
So what my buddy Kevin Keeney asked me where I did my research, right? And he was over at my place one day, and I pointed to all these books, and I go, there you go.
Wow.
But, you know, as I might have mentioned to you, The Man of Birds is the most emotional book I've ever written in my lifetime.
Yes.
And I've had women tell me that I made them cry on several of my books. Black Ravik, Sanctuary City, which is a spy novel, and a couple others, you know. And so, actually, I can't read Man of Birds without feeling tremendous emotion.
It still does that for you, and you know what's coming, and it still impacts you that way.
Right. And I don't care how many times I would read it. There's a spot or two in there. Now, there's another book that I published with Workbook Press, The Time Travel Spy, okay? Now, that book is also very emotional. And I guarantee you, anybody that reads it, it's at some point in that book, towards the end, it's going to hit them in the heart. And they're going to have a cheerful cry, but they're going to be glad they did it, you know?
Interesting. So I'm going to give you all of those books, and there's so many. And as Paul suggested, the best thing to do is to Google him. But the books, and we're showing some of the book covers in the video portion of the interview, which you'll find on YouTube and at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Man of Birds, Traveling to the Stars is the one that Paul was talking about a few seconds ago. Also, Endless Travels, Reincarnation and Memories. You got me at the title on that one. Endless Travels, Reincarnation and Memories, that's new, and you'll find that at Workbook Press as well. And the two we mentioned starting the program, Arizona Alien Adventures and Tauceti Incident. Tauceti is T-A-U-C-E-T-I. And again, you'll find all of these when you Google Paul and get all of the books there. I got about a minute or so left. Rather than ask you what's next, because you've got a bunch of them, how many books are you working on right now?
Well, I have about four or five books that are actually finished that I will send to Workbook Press, and I may be one of them to Archway as well. And they're different styles of publishers, you might say. Archway takes a little bit longer, but the way they go about it pleases me, you know.
Yes.
And I want to, one of these days, I want to give Dorrance a book to publish too, because, you know, they've done a lot for me in the past. But, you know, Workbook Press, they do such a fantastic job that,
yes.
I love giving them books, because I know they're very proficient at what they do. And they, my, colleague there who works at Workbook Press, Joe Hudson, he takes care of me really, really good. So I'm very pleased with the Workbook Press people, and I want to thank Joe Hudson for that, all that he's done for me. He's an extraordinary individual, and I thank him from the bottom of my heart for being patient with me and helping me out on the numerous times, because, you know, I've published 6 books through him. So he's you know, a prince of a gentleman, and I really thank him for all that he's done for me.
And they do an excellent job with the book covers, too. That really sort of the calling card. You look at that, and suddenly it captures your attention. And I'll send you there for the newer books, workbookpress.com. And again, you can Google Paul's name. I'll give that spelling here in a second and get information on all of the books. And this all started in the mid-1990s, a bet and a beer. Did you ever collect the beer, by the way?
Well, he still owes me some other beers, because he got his wife pregnant 4 times. And, well, actually, he missed a basketball team by 1. So I bet him on all those 2. And so he still hasn't paid up.
I was going to say, that's a kegger.
That's okay.
That's a kegger, too, that he owes you by now, just making up for all of that. It's an incredible story. What an amazing career that Paul is having in writing. It's Paul Escudero. That's Escudero. Just Google it to get all the information. Paul de Escudero. We'll have all this, by the way, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Newest books at workbookpress.com. Paul, it's been a pleasure. Hopefully we can do this again, just really touch the surface of what you're doing. Congratulations on your immense success, and thank you for spending some time with us.
Well, thank you for having me on the show there, Rick.
It has been a pleasure. Paul Escudero, Escudero. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.